हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 19, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Okay, page 80. If one is not fortunate enough to receive the Bhakti Lata beads from the spiritual master, he instead cultivates such seeds as karma beads, jnana beads, or political, social, or philanthropic beads. However, because everyone needs a taste. You have to have something to do. You have knowledge, you know. You have the endeavor, and you have a result that you want to appreciate, enjoy, right? So then that would mean then here is that if it's not bhakti, then it's got to be karma, jnana, you know, on the higher levels or lower than that, it'll be political, social, philanthropic, right? One would say no, but why you know. What's the difference here? Means you can't say all of it's karma, right? It means dharma, artha, and kama is all karma, right? And then moksha is jnana. Yes. But at the same time, as if you want to be specific, it's only dharma, artha, kama is connected as karma if the karma is theistic morality, right? It means if someone believes in following the laws of God, that's actually karma. Because karma means getting the results of your activities. So you follow God's laws, then you can say you're following karma. Right? If you're not following God's laws, that's akarma. You know, but you're not doing something sinful. But if you're doing something sinful, that's vikarma. So in other words, if you're not situated, so someone on the Manomoy platform, then their performance, they're doing that to get the gain and the sense gratification, but they're starting with God's laws. So that's why from dharma, then artha and kama. So those who just approach kama on its own directly without that, that's vikarma, because they'll always do sinful activities. It's about the senses, it's just about sinful activities, because there's no morality. Then you get to the next stage, then there's morality, but it's man-made morality. It's not based on God's laws. You know, there might be some observation of what's going around and with some time, then people figure out what goes on and everything. And so then they may come up with things that are following God's laws, but at the same time as they're not giving any credit to that in that way. Right? So they don't get... So they're not performing actually the duties they're supposed to do as human beings, which is follow God's laws. So therefore that is, they're not necessarily doing something sinful. Right? You know, they're trying, being here, like it says, political, what was it? Political, social, philanthropic. They're trying to do nice things, moralistic things, but not based on following God's laws. So that's akarma. Means they don't get any, they're doing, technically speaking, they're doing nothing. They're better than the guys before that are just doing nonsense. But technically, they're doing nothing. So as far as human beings going, they're doing nothing. Because human life is meant to elevate yourself up. But here, they're doing nothing because these political, philanthropic, and that will not elevate you beyond that position. Because you're not doing anything to elevate yourself beyond that position. Right? From the vikarma, then you're acting on anamoya, you're doing something that will drop you down into the animal species. So you're doing something, but you're kind of going the wrong way, right? You know, and so only at Manomoy, then you're following the theistic morality, then you're following the laws, and then you're elevating yourself. You know what I'm saying? Maybe very slowly, but it's still, at least then it's the human. It's not the full what it's for. Does that make sense? Right? And then it's within the karma, then you have various levels. Right? Because you have the three activities of karma, which means the nitya kriyas, the naimittic kriyas, and then the kamyaka kriyas. Right? So nitya is the daily activities that are duties that you're supposed to do. Naimittic, you know, is occasional that you do. And then kamyaka means things that you do for your own, you know, because of your desires. Like that. But you're following the rules. And so, therefore, then, of these, then, those who are following the prominence is kamyaka, that's the lowest level. Right? But then those who follow their duties, the nitya naimittic, then that will be a higher level because they're focusing on that. They may occasionally do kamyaka, but it's not the main thing. Right? Then when you go above that is they'll perform the nitya naimittic kriyas with detachment, you know, without attachment. So that'll be higher. But the whole point is they're doing that because they'll get more later. Right? And so then you're going to have those that then, okay, they do this detached work, but then that's offered to Brahman, that's offered to the Lord, right? So that'll be higher. But because the focus is on the karma, it's not that developed in devotional service, right? Because pure devotional service means it's about Krishna, and then you're engaging yourself. But in the beginning, then you're engaging according to your conditioning, so that's there. But we see with time doing that, you get purified, and then you move beyond that. Right? So when it's showing that these things that are, you know, at the particular level that they're at, then you see is that it doesn't mean that it's not good. It just means that you have to know where it is. You know, it's just like, let's say, the child goes to school the first day and learns a few numbers and a few letters. It's good, but you can't say now, you know, he's Edgar Allan Poe or something. You know? No? Sorry, I'm not trying to offend her. What do you mean? My kid's great. He's God. He's, no, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. Does that make sense? So you have to know what it is. Then you're properly situated because, you know, the order of guru, you're following that, you have that shraddha and all that. Then you'll be situated on the next platform in devotional service. Then performing that will bring you to bhava. So that will bring you to the next platform. And then bhava will bring you to prema. So it's a progressive path. So you have to know is that at least it has to start that everything you do is in connection with Krishna. Right? So for the devotees, that's progressive. Right? So in the beginning, it may be a benefit you'll get. And at the end, it's about pleasing Krishna. But the point is everything's connected. And so if you're taking some things and saying these aren't for connecting to Krishna, you know, because we don't do that kind of thing. Does that make sense? But then that's the point. It's just like we're Westerners, we don't do these things, but we're happy to sit on the Vyasasan and get recognition there. But what Westerner sits on the Vyasasan? What common person gives a class? You know, in a religious ceremony? The priest. Only the priests. But that's the whole point. But the priests are different and everyone knows they're different. We're trying to avoid because we're just being Westerners like it's our natural position. You understand? So in other words, the parts that they like, they take those of the Vedic culture. And the parts that they don't like because they're of their attachments, then that they avoid. So we can see is that's not going to be very progressive here. Because in karma, then they're either working in akarma. Or if they are working in karma, it's about their benefit. And then some things like chanting or other things, that may be properly done in sadhana. So that's the difficulty. You have such a wide range of mix. And your philosophy is pointing out, no, we're from this group. That's a pranamaya group. So there's an identity, there's upadhi, that will be very strong. Or if those who get into political, social, philanthropic kind of things are saying, no, we have to do these things, that'll make the society grow. But grow amongst what and produce what, right? It you know, you see, sow a seed in pranamoy, you get a result in pranamoy. So that's what he's saying. These seeds, you have to be careful. Therefore, the devotee, they're doing the highest welfare work. They're distributing prasad. They're taking care. They're doing these things. And so these are all included. Mm-hmm. One has to have that faith and then see that it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, Prabhupada talked about prasad distribution every 10 miles. You just take a grid and draw lines this way and another this way, and where they meet, you should have a place there that distributes prasad for that area. You know, if we did that, we'd be very well known. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that all these others are already included in bhakti. And that's an important part. To understand bhakti, it's already included. The beads, bhakti lata beads can be received only through the mercy of the spiritual master. Therefore, one has to satisfy the spiritual master to get the bhakti lata beads. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. The bhakti lata beads is the origin of devotional service. Unless one satisfies, we see that the creeper will grow, as will be explained. So that's why it says it's the beginning. Because from a seed, you get a plant, the plant gets the fruit. Yes. Right? Unless one satisfies the spiritual master, he gets the beads or root cause of karma, jnana, and yoga without the benefit of devotional service. But one who is faithful to his spiritual master gets the bhakti lata beads. So it's not just a matter of what I do. It's a matter of the mentality in which you do it. That defines it's bhakti or not. Like that, because otherwise, if it's, yeah, Prabhupada, and you know, and it's, you know, that's 50 years ago, or hey, he's from the spiritual world, you know, he doesn't know the material world, you know, we're from here, we're from the hood, we know what's going on here, then you may not end up with, you'll end up with the karma jnana or yoga beaches. Yes.
The difficulty with the lower levels of consciousness is that they completely separate cause from the effect. They don't see how God connected with the creation.
Yes.
As you just mentioned. So, nimitta and upadana as an effect, apparently they're not connected to the cause. They're just on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So then, in that case, karma jnana works really nice.
Because mm-hmm.
we're on this side, like you explaining,
mm-hmm.
and whatever's there, it doesn't really matter because we don't belong there. We mm-hmm. belong here,
mm-hmm.
so we rule this sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the main problem with anamaya, pranamaya, and lower levels of manamaya.
Manamaya, yes.
Otherwise, there's a strong connection between the cause
mm-hmm.
and the effect.
Yes, I mean it's Krishna's in control. You can see him. That's how you can see him in the creation, because you can see the cause and the effect. You know, it's able to appreciate. Just like a potter can see in the pot the clay.
Yes.
Because he has that vision.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very, very nice point.
Because today we were discussing with the students, Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings this point, and then some said, no, there's no connection between the cause and the effect. And I asked them, what kind of consciousness is it? And they said, this is material.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but In Krishna consciousness, cause and the effect are inseparable.
Yes.
We can't really separate cause from the effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if we understand the subtleties of this philosophy, mm-hmm. Sankaryava, mm-hmm. then slowly we progress. Otherwise, like you say, we're from this neighborhood, we do what, you know, everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you take it that we're from here, we're from this country and all that, and we're not from India, but India is just the remnants left up of Bharatvarsha and of you know the culture of, you know, Daiva Varnashram and this kind of thing for elevating yourself, then that means we're saying we're from here, we're not from there. So that means, and the only way we can be from here is if the soul is produced by matter. And if it's produced by matter, then we're the body. You know, because that's why it's important. So it gives rise to all kinds of material philosophies like that. Because only Vedanta actually understands it correctly, you know, because they accept this Satkaryavad. And what's it? The other one you mentioned?
Shakti Parinambha?
No, didn't you just mention two?
Oh, the Nimitta and Upadana.
Yeah, but just is that you're seeing the cause and effect.
Yeah.
And cause and effect, or what was the other? No, it's not a chinta beta beta touch. Okay, but yeah, so, yes.
Another point which connected to this is that some claim that whenever God comes here,
right,
he adopts to the local culture.
Right.
Others say that whenever he comes, he brings the spiritual culture in here.
Yes.
He's got his entourage, he's got his energies, he's got his everything.
Right.
People, everything he brings in here.
Yes.
So this is another argument. So whether he brings it here or he just adopts and...
Yeah, because the thing is, if he adopts, then, you know, whatever we're doing, he'll adopt to this now. You know? Like that, you know? So does that mean Kalki at the end, you know, comes with a mohawk or something, or like that, and he's got a tattoo or something.
He's a Bihari now.
He's a Bihari. Okay. Yeah, then no problem. Lopping off heads. Yeah. So, I say. At least this time no one noticed the basket.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, so we have to see is that that in cause and effect, that there are effects to what we do. Just as Krishna, because of his will, then there's the material. This material manifestation is here for the living entities. When the living entities have their particular will, it gives an effect. So it's not jato mat tato pad, it's whatever path you follow. You know? It's a matter of you follow as the acharyas say. When it says follow in the footsteps, it means where they put their foot, that's where you put your foot. You know? Because otherwise you say we're from here, then what's from here? Soul's not from here. The place works by this. So point is you have these different cultures because Krishna brings that. So the cultures here are descending from that. You know, you're going to have the Dwarka culture, you're going to have the Vrindavan culture, you're going to have the Mayapur culture. And from that, then you see is that you see that the different, the north, the east, and the south, the whole cultures expand from there. It's just a matter of how much, you know, it's towards Goloka or towards Vaikuntha. You know, and then you can keep going from there. You know, it can transform, then you have Shiva, and then you have, it goes down from there. So he brings the culture and that, because he's doing, and so what's left is what's left from his culture, not from something else. Because like now, people talk about, you know, that they're, you know, something remnants go back to the Romans and the Greeks and that, you know, if they're from the European, like that kind of Western culture, it'll go back to there. But that's all the farther you want to take it, because no one wants to take it back farther than that. You know, so you go back to there. So why would they think that that he follows what's going on locally? You know, we never hear an instance that he does something because that's the local scene. You know, so where that philosophy would come from, that's a waste of time. Yes.
Also, it just struck me more. Vrindavan is like more towards the north, and
yes,
Dwarka towards the west, and Bengal in the east. So all the four styles of graceful, grandeur, and all those four are covered in this.
They all come out. They all come out of the four dramatic styles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They all come out of. And he also appears, you can say, Ramachandra. Then that'll be that northern part of Bihar and things like that. So that area, and that, so that'll give one style. And so you end up with these.
All the flavors are included.
All the flavors, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's another way you can approach. This Bhakti Lata Bij is received when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. After receiving the spiritual master's mercy, one must repeat his instructions. And this is called Shravana Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. One who has not properly heard from the spiritual master, or who does not follow the regulative principles, is not fit for chanting Kirtanam. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. 241. Yavasayatmika Bhutir Eke Hakuru Nandana. One who has not listened carefully to the instructions of the spiritual master is unfit for chanting or for preaching the cult of devotional service. One has to water the Bhakti Lata Beej by receiving instructions from the spiritual master. So you see here the focus is on instructions are there, those have to be taken seriously and followed. Like that, because that's the whole point. The instructions are the life and soul. 219-153. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, as one waters the Bhakti Lata Beej, the seed sprouts and the creeper gradually grows to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, lying between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahma Loka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through that stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet Goloka Vrindavan. So you notice that you get the seed, you water it, and then it grows, and it gradually goes outside the universe. So notice it doesn't talk too much about within the universe. Because that's actually not the important part. You know, you do the needful, you do the necessary. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. A creeper generally takes shelter of a big tree, but the Bhakti Lata, being the creeper of spiritual energy, cannot take shelter of any material planet. For there is no tree on any material planet that the Bhakti creeper can utilize for shelter. In other words, devotional service cannot be utilized for any material purpose. Devotional service is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes men with a poor fund of knowledge maintain that bhakti can be applied to material things also. In other words, they say that devotional service can be rendered to one's country or to the demigods. But this is not a fact. Devotional service is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is beyond this material range. There is a river, or causal ocean, between the spiritual and material natures. And this river is free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, it is called Viraja. The prefix V means Vigata, completely eradicated. And Rajas means the influence of the material world. On this platform, a living entity is completely free from material entanglement. For the jnanis who want to merge into the Brahman effulgence, there is Brahma Loka. The Bhakti Lata, however, has no shelter in the material world, nor has it shelter in Brahma Loka. Although Brahma Loka is beyond the material world, the Bhakti Lata grows until it reaches the spiritual sky where Goloka Vrindavan is situated. Yeah, so when the Veda talks about Brahma Loka, then we understand it's meaning that, you know, that's what's situated in Brahman. Right? So that means the spiritual world. Does that make sense? You know, because here people are taking shelter here, and then they go beyond to Brahma Loka. But the point is that Brahma Loka, just as you're engaging yourself here, your willpower here, then you'll engage it there. So you can only engage it there in the spiritual planets. Yes. 219-154. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, being situated in one's heart and being watered by Shravana Kirtana, the Bhakti creeper grows more and more. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desire tree, the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? Because creepers need a tree to grow on. Yes. Right? Who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky. Srila Prabhupada, in Brahma Samhita 537, it is said, Ananda chinmaya rasap pratibhavi tabis tabir ya eva nicharupataya kalabihi goloka eva nivasatya kilatma puto govinda mari purusham tamahang bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord. He resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has expanded himself by his spiritual potency. He has his eternal form of bliss and knowledge, Satchidananda Vigraha. Everything in the Goloka planet is a spiritual expansion of Satchidananda. Everyone there is of the same potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. The relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his servitor is Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna and his entourage and paraphernalia are of the same Chinmaya potency. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is expanded throughout the spiritual world. And when that Chinmaya Rasa potency expands through the material potency, it becomes all-pervading. Right? So there it's expanding all throughout, but it has still that aspect of that Bhagavan feature. It means that rasa is there. But when it comes to the material world, that same same aspect then becomes all-pervading. It becomes that aspect where all the potencies, all the rasas, everything are all permeating everything. And then it's a matter of the modes of nature, then what is manifested and not. Right? Does that make sense? No, that's not. Yeah, it's one of those days. It just says Kolkata, West Bengal.
Oh, it's. They changed their numbers.
Who?
The advertisements.
Oh, okay. The idea is that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists on his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan, he is also present everywhere. Andanta Rasta Paramanu Chayanta Rastam, Brahma Samhita 535. He is present within all the universes, although they are innumerable, and he is also present within the atom. Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddesher Junatishtati, Bhagavad Gita 1861. Is also present within the heart of all living entities. This is his all-pervasive potency. So, in other words, the other is that the spiritual rasa, this Chinmaya rasa, is permeating everything, and everything is absorbed in that Chinmaya rasa. But then when it comes to the material world, it's just the all-pervading aspect. It doesn't have that Chinmaya rasa to it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Picture this and
then confirm
it with you. The manifoldness of the Lord pervades
all
throughout the spiritual sky.
It pervades everything.
Now, beyond the spiritual sky, there is the Lord who brings out all the universes.
Yes.
In that space, is it still the
manifoldness? Yes.
Okay.
Even the sun is a reflection of the Brahman effulgence.
So within each universe, Brahman is also all-pervading.
It's all-pervading everything.
So
that wall is Brahman. Yes, that wall.
So Akash is not Brahman.
No, it's just space.
Right. So when the impersonalists or the Buddhists, for that matter, merge within the Brahman effulgence, they just disappear within the universe?
They'll be outside of this part.
They'll be outside the universe.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean... But they're still within Mahatattva.
Right, within Mahatattva.
Okay. They won't get out.
Okay.
They're not getting out that easy. Achyutananda Maharaj used to say that the Buddhists... merge into the mud at the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. Because he says that there's, you know, that thing is nothingness. So everywhere else it's going to be effulgent, but they're into that, you know, nothingness, so then they get stuck in the mud.
Okay.
With that.
Another verse in Brahma Samhita that Goloka Dhammi Nicha Dhammi explained in the four levels.
Uh
The Sadashiva Loka and Mahakalapura, it says that they go to Mahakalapura, which is within the Mahatattva.
Yes.
Sadashiva Loka is outside, but that region they can't reach.
No, yeah, because he went through that, right, Gopakumar?
Yeah.
Because he went through Mahakalapura and he saw the guys sitting there and doing their meditation. And you can see their forms, but they all think that they've merged. And they have no form. And he could see them.
He could see.
But everything's white and bright. And
they wouldn't talk to him.
No. You know, it's like the, what do you call it? The Ajax man. You know, everything's white, you know. No? You know.
Yeah.
White, shaved head, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. So, yeah, and then beyond that is Shiva, because he's beyond Viraja. But he's still, you know. But it, yeah.
Devidam, Mahesham, Haridam.
Yes.
And then Goloka.
And then Goloka,
because that's what it says, the supreme.
Goloka.
Situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky. So it's the highest of all. Okay. So the creeper just, you know, keeps going all through there. Because before that, there's nothing to hold on to. So it's like creepers, when they grow, they have a potency where they can go out for a while to grab something. And once they grab, then you see they relax. So the point is, the creeper will grow until it gets to Goloka and take shelter of the what do you call it? He said the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then they can connect to. So it doesn't connect to anything here in the material world. Even though it's a creeper, it still won't touch anything here. So it's because otherwise, if it did, you could say, oh, we need this, we need that. No, it just, like you see, he's giving the whole intro, then he says about the beach, then it grows, and it gets to Goloka. He just doesn't even talk about it in between. Hmm. Like that. So, yeah.
Elsewhere, it is mentioned an interesting point that some jivas are offered, those who are ready to go back to the spiritual sky,
yes,
they offer it. If they want to go direct, or they can...
They want to take the tour.
Yeah. And then go to the spiritual world.
Yeah. But you have to be careful, because on the tour, if you like anything, then they'll let you off there.
To stay for a while, which means like Brahmandas.
Yeah. Yeah, it can. You know...
It's also mentioned in the Buddha Bhagavata that Gopakumar has to go and get permission from Yoga Devi to be able to get out.
Hmm.
You can't just leave. Can I go now?
Yeah, because she's the one that recommends. So without her recommendation, you know, you have to move the paper, right? You know, it has to get stamped, and the paper has to move. You know. Yes. And so then, yes. And you also see is that you know, that there was also the offering. Do you want to worship Mohini,
yes,
Murti, and like this, and in the Padang, because they're very beautiful and everything, like that. So the Pradhan is very attractive because it's Krishna's potency, because he's all attractive, so his potency is attractive. But then he says, no, thank you, and keeps going. You know, then he goes, you know, Mahakalapura, then to Shivadam, like that, then to Vaikuntha, and then back here, and then from here goes to Goloka. So that's the, you know, the whole thing is everyone wants, oh, can I go here, there? You know, what if I don't, can I, you know, check? Yeah, you can go up to Vaikuntha, and then, but if you want to go Goloka, you go from here. You don't need to go through Vaikuntha. Like that. Okay. He is also present within the heart of all living entities. This is his all-pervasive potency. Goloka Vrindavan is the highest planet in the spiritual world. In order to go to the spiritual world, after penetrating the cover of the material universe, one must penetrate Brahma Loka, the spiritual effulgence. Then one can come to the Goloka Vrindavan planet. There are also other planets in the spiritual world called Vaikuntha planets. And on these planets, Lord Narayan is worshipped with awe and veneration. On these planets, Shantaras is prevalent. And some of the devotees are also connected with the Lord, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Dasya Rasa, the mellow of servitorship. That's interesting. Because because the Shanta will be the appreciation. So you can have unlimited people there appreciating. But you can't have everybody doing all the detailed service. You know, so much service can be done because of the reverence and, you know, and the majesty. A lot of individuals can be involved. But at the same time, as it's going to be, you know, generally we think it's dasya because that's the main, but as Prabhupada's pointing out, shanta is the maximum. And then there's, you know, many in those in dasya. And so they do all the different services. That's interesting.
The statement that Goloka is the highest planet in the spiritual sky,
yes,
is a figure of speech, because the spiritual sky is unlimited, so there's no higher as such. It's the highest of all the spiritual planets in terms
but
of
it's life. Also expanding, as is the spiritual world. So it will also be getting bigger. It's 51%, so they have the largest stake. Yeah, 51%, and you know, and then members of the board, you know, you have Vasudev, you know, Nanda Baba, and others like that, you know, so it's going well. But, you know, they're smart. They keep the majority percentage. No? That's everybody else, but I'm just saying, you know, the point is, you know, you keep 51, not. As far as the mellow of fraternity is concerned, in Vaikuntha this rasa is represented by Gaurav Shakya, friendship and awe and veneration. The other fraternity rasa exhibited in Vishrambha, friendship and equality, is found in Goloka Vrindavan planet. So you can have some of this short, but it'll be friendship and awe and like that. So like in Ramachandra's, then you're going to see that. Because otherwise, generally in Vaikuntha, you don't see. But Vaikuntha means anything other than basically Vrindavan. Like that. It's found in Goloka Vrindavan planet only. So that means outside, then you can get this Gaurav Shakya in awe and veneration. Above that, there is service to the Lord in Vatsalya Rasa, parental love. And above all is the friendship with the Lord in the Madhurya Rasa, conjugal love. These five rasas are fully exhibited in the spiritual world in one's relationship with the Lord. Therefore, in the spiritual world, the bhakti creeper finds its resting place at the lotus feet of Krishna. Right, so everything is going back to Krishna. So therefore, that's where the bhakti creeper will find its position. Yes?
Just to clarify, so 2.5 rasas means predominance of shanta, then dasya is there, then this Gaurav Shakya.
Gaurav Shakya.
So that's it. That's 2.5. So this puts Lakshmi actually in dasya rasa.
Yes. It means she may have, but no one's going to see anything more than that. She's considered the greatest servant. She is the energy of the Lord and all that, so at least with the living entities, they're only going to have these others. Her position is different because she's non-different from the Lord, but she's a servant of the Lord. And so, you know, you're going to see like Ananta, because he's coming from the Lord, you know, Sankarsana. But it will have that element of veneration, like that. So in that way, he can be that. And her relationship is just because that the when you ever have the Purusha, you'll always have the Prakriti. But you don't see any pastimes, conjugal pastimes between them. You know, you don't hear of anything like that. You just know that at night they go to rest in their chamber and this and that, and that's all. That's all. That's you know. Like that. Mm-hmm. 219.155. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting." Right? So that's what Prabhupada says, the Shravanam Kirtanam process. That's the process that waters the creeper, that it grows. Nothing else waters the creeper. Right? Means, because everything we're doing is all connected to hearing and chanting. You know, we're taking our bath to hear and chant. We're taking prasad so we can hear and chant. We're doing, you know, so everything's connected with hearing and chanting. it may be in its own service, but the point is the focus is always hearing and chanting. You know, even you're doing deity worship, it's you're chanting mantras and everything, it's hearing and chanting. You're offering prayers, it's hearing and chanting. Is that... Srila Prabhupada, the Bhakti Lata continues to grow until it reaches the topmost planetary system, Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives. There the creeper takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, and that is its final destination. At that time the creeper begins to grow the fruits of ecstatic love of God. It is the duty of the devotee who nourishes the creeper to be very careful. It is said that the watering of the creeper must continue. Ihan Mali Seche Nitya Shravanadi Jal. It is not that at a certain stage one can stop chanting and hearing and become a mature devotee. If one stops, one certainly falls down from devotional service. Although one may be very much exalted in devotional service, he should not give up the watering process of Shravana Kirtana. If one gives up that process, it is due to an offense. This is described in the following verse. Right, so because we have to see as before, it's like it was saying, you don't get the proper bija from the spiritual master, then you end up with these other things in karma, gyan, yoga, you know, in political, social, philanthropic, like that. But if you get the proper bija, but if you're not careful in that, then something can happen, and then one falls down to that, because it says transcendentalists, then they fall down to the philanthropic kind of platform. They have to be very careful. So some will think, oh no, we're elevating ourselves by being more conscious of social etiquettes and this and that, and worrying about these things. But at the same time, as you have to see, is there still a proper emphasis on hearing and chanting in that? If there is, they're just trying to make you more cultured, you know, and behavior befitting that of the devotee with the 26 qualities. But if we see that that's not the focus, it's about, no, unless we do these things, then devotional service can't go nicely, then you know something's wrong.
It means offenses.
Because that's what it says. Offenses are what causes this to happen.
Yes.
You know? So that's why we're always very, very careful. Or at least, we always talk about how one should always be very, very careful. Whether we're careful or not, that's another thing.
So Maharaj, are two things were needed, the mercy of the spiritual master and the personal sincerity.
Yes, and then one gets that seed, and then one, hearing and chanting, one continues. So that's why it's always, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. So that's the point, because on our own, we're not going to hear and chant.
Yes.
This idea, it's mentioned before, a few verses before, on my own, I can take care and all that, no. It's only an association, because association is what makes it grow. Because you can say, no, I can do on my own, I'm advanced. But then, are we as advanced as someone who has taken their birth in Gokul Vrindavan? You know? Like that. So they're there, but unless they get association, it doesn't move forward into progress through Bhavata Prema. It's only an association of the Lord's eternal associates that you get that. So when you have the pastime happening, the Boma Lila pastime, you have Krishna comes down with his associates. Then all those who are qualified from the material world, from their sadhana, Gripa city, Archana city, or how you say, sadhana city, they come up into Gokula. So only when they get the association of the Nitya Siddhas do they move forward to Prema. Otherwise, then they'll go on, nicely doing their duties and making cow dung patties and chapatis and whatever else they're doing. Like that, And so they get stuck. It's just like the yagyic Brahmins. They're there doing their yagyas and pujas, chanting their mantras. Because in the morning in Braj, at the very early time in that, then you hear, the Brahmins chanting the mantras and doing all the different things like that. It's part of the ambience in Vrindavan. Because they're all there doing these things. But we see here with those yagyic Brahmins in the story, they got distracted by this and didn't continue forward into pure devotion to Krishna. So only when you get the association of the eternal associates, then that moves on, or the pure devotees. Now that their wives have become accept, now by their association, now they can move forward. But before that, they didn't take advantage.
So the process to qualify to enter Brahma Lila are the 11 verses of the Upanishad.
Yes, yes. Like that. It means you remember Krishna at the time of death, you'll go there, whatever position. Even you're a neophyte, you remember Krishna, you'll go there. But you'll be there. The devotional development will be that of the neophyte, though you won't have any of the anartas or the gross material body of that. So you'll have your spiritual form and all that. You'll be in a very ideal situation. But now if you continue that sincerity, which basically, if you remember Krishna, why wouldn't you? Then Krishna will arrange. Just like you are interested in who am I and all this, sincerely, Krishna sends the devotees. So if you're actually sincere, Krishna will send the devotees. Like that. And
the
so,
Guru is also involved.
Yeah, Guru's involved. Guru's involved. And so, but who you're greeted by, or who brings you into this thing, it can be Krishna, it can be the Guru, it can be associate. Like that. That's it. The point is, it will happen. You don't have to worry. I'm used to little dinky feet running along the wall, and then suddenly there's these monster feet. So far out, the tail just keeps going, Yeah, they like to eat papaya leaves. It must be, especially these ones. Yeah. It must be something very medicinal, because they don't eat much. They just eat a little bit, like it's medicine.
But only the fresh ones.
Yeah. Well, the old ones would be really bitter, I'm sure. Because it's not their regular food. Yeah. Like this guy just kept going by. So I've noticed when they come into the Gurukul, a few of them will go over to the tree, take a couple like this and that, and then they go. They don't take down the tree. The fruit, that they would take. But
boost their immunity.
Yeah, boost their immunity. Yeah, especially in these days. You can't be any too careful. But, so.
And we had that conversation at length upstairs during the monsoon.
Yes. Yeah. So like that, one doesn't have to worry. These things will be there. And so then one continues. But the point is being in the liberated position of Brahma Bhuta, what's to keep you back from moving forward very quickly? So we see is very quickly then people come to the platform. Because it's when Krishna plays the flute, how many go? Most go. A few get held back. So that means a few of them hadn't been that serious. So then by being held back, then they may become very serious, then Yogamaya arranges them to go. And then some of them, the amount that they have to cover is a little bit more, and so by being absorbed in Krishna, that will burn off the effect of any pious and impious activities. We always think, we have to burn off the impious. You have to burn off the pious also. Because impiety, what's the result of piety? Sense gratification. Yeah, you get good facility and sense gratification. So we're thinking, we have to be pious and all this. If you want to go to the heavenly planets, go for it. But if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to give up both. Then they think, then you're saying we'll be sinful. They say, you're giving up both. Are you listening here? Yes.
Also those in the Golok, the past tense where you cannot participate, it's all mostly always the piety. Because they don't have impiety.
Yes, it's piety. Yeah, because it says they get distracted by the duties in the house and other things like that, doing their duties properly. Because everything, where's the effect of the material world there? So there's nothing wrong, there's nothing there. So the Brahma Bhuta, it's a nice platform. It's a pleasant platform. But it doesn't have the taste of highest. So since you've already understood that there's something beyond and tasted that to some degree, when that's reminded you, go beyond. So that's the point, is if that we're focused like that here in your practice, then the natural thing is just to continue. Right? So that's on that side of his point. The other side is that even here one can advance and come to that platform of Brahma Bhuta while here, though that will be very rare. And so one could come to the Uttama platform here and then practice your activities there, and because of that, you generally go through very quickly. Right. So the point is, you know, does that make sense? Because it's you've come to, it's like the yogis, they come to that platform of samadhi, which is slow, but when they get to there, then that surrender in bhakti is very quick. Does that make sense? While us, it may take a little longer, that, but we're almost there, and then it's quick. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the whole point is that one can go. That's why then Raghunath Das says he offers his obeisance to the Brajabasis. That means the ones who live there and those who are there by meditation. Mm-hmm. They're both Brajabasis. Mm-hmm.
This morning I listened to
another one, stopping at the shorter tail, though.
Increase platelets.
Hmm?
Blood platelets.
Oh, getting his blood platelets. Yes. No?
Huh?
You see? Okay, here comes another one. Yeah, yeah, but generally they all come together in one thing, but here it's usually one at a time.
Indeed.
That one went by, yeah.
Some are sick, some are not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, lost it?
No.
Okay.
It's one of this new Prabhupada lecture and emphasizing the devotee says devotional service is 24 hours a day. Sleeping is an absolute waste of time.
Yeah, unless you can be dreaming about Krishna, then it's all right.
He was pretty, basically, his point was everybody should be engaged in this temple, this lecturing in the mouth. He said the deity should be served 24 hours a day. No one should sleep. He said the Goswamis didn't sleep, very rarely. And then he brings up the aspect that ultimately we have to perform this austerity to please Krishna, to express our love for Krishna. And I was wondering, where is he getting that from? And then he says, you know, sometimes someone may throw flowers at the deity. He said, in one of those flowers there will be an ant. That ant will crawl out of the flower and go to Krishna's lotus feet. That ant goes back to God.
But that doesn't mean you take the basket of flowers, stick it over on the ant hill for a while. Yeah. Yeah, because that's the far out thing about deity worship. Everybody gets the same benefit. You know, so the person who sees the arti, the person doing the arti, probably the ant that's on the flowers while it's being offered is getting the benefit, you know. So that's the far out thing with Krishna, is everything's so perfect. It's unlimited. We're thinking why it's not going quicker, because you're dealing with, you know, a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
You know, so hence travel light. This is, okay, then, okay. If one gives up that process of Shravanam Kirtanam, it is due to an offense. This is described in the following verse, 2:19-156. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, if the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. Srila Prabhupada. One's devotional attitude increases in the association of a Vaishnava. Tandera charana sevi bhakti bhakta sanivas janame janame hai a avilash. By his personal example, Narottam Das Thakur stresses that a devotee must always remember to please his predecessor, Acharya. The Goswamis are represented by one spiritual master. One cannot be an Acharya, spiritual master, without following strictly in the disciplic succession of the Acharyas. Right, so this idea that, oh, the spiritual master can do whatever he wants, that's a bogus concept, where that comes from. You have to follow in the footsteps like that. One who is actually serious about advancing in devotional service should desire only to satisfy the previous Acharyas. H.I. Gosai Jar Mui Taro Das. One should always think of oneself as a servant of the Acharyas. Right? Because that's our position. Like that. We're serving our spiritual master, right? Serving Srila Prabhupada, serving the previous Acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. That's what we're doing. Right? So that's how it works. It's not just we're serving our spiritual master, serving Krishna. We're actually serving through here, Rupa Goswami. They know how to serve and they engage us. That's the... Yeah? No? Not one more. One should always think of oneself as a servant of the servant of the Acharyas. And thinking this, one should live in the society of Vaishnavas. Right? So you always have to be in that association. So we see is that respect for the previous Acharyas, assisting one spiritual master, living in the association of the Vaishnavas, that's what makes drives everything.
Yes.
That's what inspires the willpower. Right? Because otherwise with we think we'll just exist and you know everything will go nicely. But unless we're existing on the spiritual platform, then what are we going to be existing on? Right? Does that make sense? Madhyalila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 1380. However, if one thinks that he has become very mature and can live separate from the association of Vaishnavas, and thus gives up all the regulative principles due to offending a Vaishnava, one's position becomes very dangerous. They're on the roof here.
One.
Oh, they like... Sometimes, yeah, it's very rare they sit on the very top.
They look where everybody is.
Yeah. Where's everybody else?
The smaller.
Huh?
They always the smaller ones go.
Yeah, it'll be the teenagers, you know, the punks. You know. The big guys don't bother. June 19, 157. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter." Srila Prabhupada. "While the bhakti creeper is growing, the devotee must protect it by fencing it all around. The neophyte devotee must be protected by being surrounded by pure devotees. In this way, he will not give the maddened elephant a chance to uproot his bhakti creeper. When one associates with non-devotees, the maddened elephant is set loose. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Asat Sangha Tyag, A Vaishnav Achar. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 2287. The first business of a Vaishnav is to give up the company of non-devotees. A so-called mature devotee, however, commits a great offense by giving up the company of pure devotees. The human being is a social animal, and if one gives up the society of pure devotees, he must associate with non-devotees. That's satsanga. Right? So they'll say, we don't need, you know, we're just on our own, but then they will take up association of non-devotees. They're not going, you know, out living in the forest with the grizzlies or something, you know, so... By contacting non-devotees, engaging in non-devotional activities, the so-called mature devotee will fall victim to the mad elephant offense. Whatever growth has taken place is quickly uprooted by such an offense. One should therefore be very careful to defend the creeper by fencing it in. That is, by following the regulative principles and associating with pure devotees. That's the fence. Because the fence means what keeps out the offenses. That's then in the association of devotees, one practices the devotional, you know, directions, or following the instructions. Yes?
Here Prabhupada says that human being is social animal, and if one gives up the association of pure devotees, then it should associate with non-devotees, means who are animals.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like
like-minded animals, like that, yeah.
Like they are animals.
Yeah.
Very particular.
Yes. Even if one thinks that there are many pseudo-devotees or non-devotees in the Krishna Consciousness Society, still one should stick to the society. If one thinks the society's members are not pure devotees, one can keep direct company with the spiritual master. And if there's any doubt, one should consult the spiritual master. However, unless one follows the spiritual master's instructions concerning the regulative principles, and chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, one cannot become a pure devotee. By one's mental concoctions, one falls down. Well, you know, you can't make up your own path. It's a very specific path. We follow the path given by the Acharyas, you know, as given by the spiritual master, then that will be progressive. And then that we find, you know, like-minded individuals. So that's the Goshala roof. Mm-hmm. See, this is when you go up because it's high and you can see things, but it's no fun. But that, the Goshala roof and the roof over on the Nityananda Kutirs, yeah, that is fun. I've seen them, they'll sit along the sides, and then the phobia will just run and back and forth. Just, they're doing nothing like that just for the noise. Like that. They run there just because it makes noise. If it didn't make noise, like here, they'd just run by because it's a road. But there, they'll sit there for a long time because it's fun.
Another thing is this, the younger ones too. But in the monkeys, older, the more crazy. The monkeys, if they're more older, they're more crazy. They go more older, they become sober. They sit
oh, these ones.
Yeah, the
other ones, they're nuts. Yeah. Yeah, these ones are okay. It's like if they're there and you went over there with the banana and held it open, just kind of reach down and take the banana peacefully. You know, it wouldn't attack you and do weird things and make faces. So even if you think there's pseudo-devotees, non-devotees, this, that, still, you find association, you stay within the confines of those who then you can relate with. You know? So it's already, these things have been given before. Because before you read this, even if you think, oh yeah, somebody might think, but there aren't any. Yeah. You know, so.
Now it seems that this instruction is very important because many devotees, when it is an announcer, they left the association of devotees.
Yes, they can leave.
Some difficulties after.
Always means if you go outside, it's the material world hasn't changed since we left it.
Yes.
You know, in fact, Kali Yuga has progressed. You know, so it's not that it's better or they're nicer or this or that. No, that's just the political, social, and these kind of things. That no one's any nicer than they were before. You know, like that. So it's always the same. Material mentality is the same. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just like when, you know, I say before becoming a devotee, you know, dogs bark. Then now that we've become a devotee in that, sometimes God, we want to go back into the material kind of fun. It's not that we'll go back and now dogs don't bark. They don't slobber. They don't have fleas, you know, like that. They eat slowly and nicely. You know, no, it's still exactly the same. So nothing changes. So then if one goes, then the material energy will say, oh, okay, you want to? Because why do you go? Looking for something. Yeah. And as we mentioned before, is that when you have happiness, you're going to have the stresses, they're born together. Yeah. And so automatically, then you're going to get distress. Because the happiness you want has to come by removing a distress. If you want material happiness, you have to remove a material distress to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But there's ideas as a devotee, then we're not suffering and all that because Krishna's taking care. So if I go out in the material world, I'll continue like that. No, it's just that it just drops off. You go right back to where you were. Yeah, I mean, exact spot.
You go back to the same records again.
Same records, same everything.
Pick up your guitar.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, that mentality, that thinking they are pseudo devotees, it's of the neophyte, the canister.
Yeah.
And then as soon as person like is in the madhyama stage, his mentality changes. Like when I was new, I was just few months. Then there was one senior devotee. Then he was asking me to come along with him, and then maybe was almost 1 or 2 days together. Then I asked him this question. What gain you'll get by keeping me with you? You had an option to take somebody else. It doesn't matter. You are with me. Then it's a devotee. Like, then I it will be encouraging me to chant, and then right. Now we are together. Then it's always inspiring, reminding me of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So it's simple and straightforward. Anybody who's in taken the movement?
Yeah, if you have good, so therefore you find those who are nicely practicing and nicely, the mentality is very nice, you associate with them. That protects the creeper. And anything else, then it will take you out into the non-devotees, and that lets the elephant loose. Yeah. By one's mental concoction, one falls down. By associating with non-devotees, one breaks the regulative principles and is thereby lost. In the Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami, verse 2, it is said, Atyahardav prayasas cha prajalpo niyamagra ha. Janasangas jalalyam cha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. One, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. So it says, when one becomes too entangled. You know, so it means that occasionally, you know, sometimes something comes, you end up eating too much. That's not here, but if that's the main thing, you're always doing that, then that's a problem. Collecting more funds than required. Two, so in other words, it's collection. So it just means collecting more funds, by collecting more food, collecting more anything like that. Two, over-endeavoring for mundane things which are very difficult to attain. You know, that by doing this, then, you know, everything will go nicely. No, you put in your effort, you know, according to your duties, what comes from that. You make your best effort because it's for Krishna. And then whatever comes. So you don't take up something that you can't accomplish. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an example of a project that's bigger than you can manage, needs way more money than you have the ability to collect or that. Or starting something when you're old. Don't start a big project when you're older. No, you do that when you're younger. Yes. You know, does that make sense? You know, otherwise, these are things that then people get too absorbed. The idea is that everybody should be engaged, but not so much that they give up properly practicing. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It seems that a devotee who, you know, inadvertently damages their bhakti lata by committing offenses. Mm. It seems that it's some sort of a predestined attitude and mentality. And what I mean by that is, you know, that you can find many reasons within the institution to offend someone because something's wrong is being done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Another devotee would just move on, you know, and just move on with life and just stick to yourself. But someone else would just grab that opportunity to just, you know, vent and rage and point fingers and become more and more offensive until they completely destroy themselves.
Yes.
So is it a predestined nature?
The thing is it's the living entity, because even if we look at predestiny, predestiny means simply the results of your previous actions. So if we have a critical attitude, then we have to be careful is that that can just be cultivated and grow. So in that way is that if you criticize, then there'll be the seed is planted to criticize again. Any activity you do, it creates a seed, you know, so that the process can continue. And so in that way you can say it's predestiny, but the point is predestiny is based on themselves, because we like to say predestiny as if it has nothing to do with me. You know, I would prefer not to, but somehow or another I'm forced to and all that, and no. Because you don't know, maybe last life they were critical, and so this life they continue with that. But the point is knowing what's the practice and all that, then you can have the attitude to try to adjust that. And by that good association, by following the instructions and all that, then one gets purified to where, then if that's, you know, from some other aspect in the heart, it gets purified so it goes away. So it's always something you can work with. But if you've started it, it just naturally, it's like a snowball. It just grows. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Snowflake by snowflake.
They are devotees, it's just a natural language for them. It doesn't matter what you say, yeah, you
Yeah, you have to be very careful because one aspect that comes from is Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the six inherent qualities in the soul are just part of the soul's nature. So that sense of justice is one of them. But it's being what are they measuring by?
By their previous impressions.
Yeah, their previous impressions that tend to measure by. Because we see it's not that anything less was going on at the time Srila Prabhupada was here. You know, I mean, it's like you had people starting their own societies back then. And the Prabhupada encouraged as much as they could do something in connection. But when it gets too weird, then you just let it go. You know, people were leaving, people were this, people were running off with this and that, and so many things. So, I mean, it was going on all the time. Because that's the nature of the material world. You're going to have that. So then, the point is when looking at, the service being done and other things like that, and if that's where the mentality is, it's about that, and these other things are just due to bad habits. That's different than if they're doing all these nonsense things and thinking it's all right. Now you have a problem. Like that. So one has to be able to see the difference on what's going on there. But otherwise, if we see any fault and we say, oh, then they're not... You know, it's like I remember once someone had been a pujari doing service for 10 years. You know, full-time pujari. All the time, nice pujari, this and that. Then, you know, your typical story, the brahmacharini, you know, some service, she washes, you know, cleans the paraphernalia like that, something happens. And then devotees are saying, oh, he's not a Brahmin. But where are they getting that? Because the Brahmin would never do that. It's kind of like, a Brahmin doesn't do that as an occupation, yes. But to say that a Brahmin couldn't make a mistake, that where does that come from? Where is that one of the nine qualities? You know, so that's a lot of times is we have our own sense of justice. You know, because especially a lot of times, it depends where one's from, but there's this idea it's 100% squeaky clean or it's completely wrong. There's nothing in between. You know? And if there is any shades of gray in between, it gets weird. Right? You know, so one has to be careful. Is that one has to see is that it's a progression. Like that. Does that make sense? It's a progression. And so then one is going step by step and following in the footsteps of how the acharyas are showing. Then it goes very nicely. So that's why then by a senior association, you'll have a better way. So the point is the person making that comment, does he have anybody he considers superior? Like that. Then where is this, where are you fencing in the creeper? And if they say Srila Prabhupada, great, sit down, read the books. Instead of sit around and criticize, read the books. But read the books in the context of how you're going to apply that in your life to move your own devotional service forward. Right? Because unless you're in a position of authority where you are responsible for someone, where therefore you can point out faults, then there's no real benefit to pointing out faults. You know? It only enhances your idea to stay on your own. But, as Prabhupada pointed out, staying on your own means giving up the association of devotees, but as a social animal, you will associate with those who are not devotees. Or you'll associate with other like-minded, critically, yes. You know, the sophorous devotees,
that's
individuals.
That's normally the scenario. That's normally the scenario.
Yes, but then from that, but it doesn't mean that, and if they stay within that, okay, that's nice as long as they keep going the regular principles. But at some point, they have to give that up if they want to advance. Because all that will just keep them from advancing.
Also, they cannot stand each other.
Sorry?
They cannot stand each other also for long.
That's another thing. If there's a it means you have a common, a third party that you're both criticizing, then you're, you know, it's just like in Manu mentions that you have, I think, what was it called? The circle of... What did he call that? Circle of influence, the circle of friends, the circle of... can't remember what he calls it. It means your kingdom is here. So this kingdom is your enemy, this kingdom is your enemy. Right? But this enemy here and this enemy here are friends. You know, I think it's called circle of friends. So that means your friend is that one. So as long as this one and this one are talking about this one, you know, like that, then they're friends. But otherwise, they're not, like you said. But it's just, it's an age-old story. It's always been like that. Okay, coming back the other way.
Because even the process of wanting to correct, you know, to adjust something that they think is wrong in the institution, it's such a dangerous game. It's
yes. Because the thing is on correcting it, one is, are you in a position to correct it? Two, you know, do you have that authority to correct it? Three, do you have the actual capacity to correct it? And so just making comments, that you can do, but if it comes up, okay, it might be you, that would be your comment, but you wouldn't focus on it because you would focus on how you're going to develop. So only if you're dealing with people that are you're responsible for or in some way, then you might say something to that they are helped so that they don't get involved in those things, so they see things in the proper way. But at the same time, they have to be careful not to become critical. Right? Because otherwise, oh, Guru Maharaj said this, and so then they become critical, when it's not, that's not actually how it's dealing. You know, it's like Prabhupada makes comments about the smarta Brahmins, right? Mm-hmm. And so then some devotees would criticize Brahmins in India. And Prabhupada said, no, they're Brahmins. They're actually Brahmins. You have to respect them as Brahmins, like that. Our point is, in connection to pure devotional service and attaining that, they have a problem. But as far as being Brahmins, no one's criticizing that they're not Brahmins. You know, it's like even the guy is, you know, doing whatever it is, and we see him as ordinary. He does spend an hour and a half, 2 hours doing puja every day, day in, day out, and he's been doing that for his whole life. You know, so all these things, they are regulated, they are clean, they are all these things. They're just not using them for an important purpose. Like that. So one has to be very careful that way. So that's why you see when Krishna in the 11th canto, he's pointing out faults and things after pointing out the major things so that we understand, he stops and doesn't get into any more detail and says, you know, but we'll stop here because pointing out good and bad is a problem. Because actually it's what connects to Krishna, that's what's good. What's not connected to Krishna, that's what's bad. Not that within we're looking at the mechanics, that's the bad part. It's what's not connected to Krishna. So we may point out how mechanics can work and all that like that. So yes, one has to be careful. Yeah. You know, it's like when sometimes a devotee will go to Prabhupada and complain about the president. You know, like that. And especially if the president was actually good. Like that. Then sometimes you see occasions where Prabhupada would tell that devotee, okay, you be the president. You know, put your money where your mouth is, that kind of thing. And then that devotee who was the president, because he's doing so much and all that, he would take him and to do open some new project, because he actually can work with devotees and do all the different things. And then the other guy will be there, then he has to get it together. Then he figures out no one likes him now. You know, so then you learn. You know. Or if he didn't have any that qualification, then Prabhupada point out is first you have to be able to do what he's done. So the president is there and he's done some mistake. Another president who's on the same kind of level, he could complain. Like, you know, you have the president of L.A. So that means unless he's the president of, let's say, like London, you know, or some other major center, then only he could criticize him. Small temple presidents couldn't make that complaint. Unless it was, you know, just where he kept his pen on the table or something. That's another thing. Then you can complain. But he had to be, you can do that service. But if you haven't done, you could say, I could do that service, but why haven't you done it already? You know, like that. You know, it's just like, we have hundreds and hundreds of temples, and I'm sure many of them need some leadership. So, you know, you got to, you know, go for it. So, you know, Prabhupada would deal. And I think once time one devotee was talking about, I think, some the GBCs in India having some trouble, and he says, hey, he's talking about I could do maybe or something. And Prabhupada just his comment was thin horse. You know that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shyamasundara writes in his book.
Yes, Shyamasundara. I think it was. So it was about the LA president. So he was good, but that's in LA. That's not India, you know. And so then the other swamis and everything that were there, and he says, what does that mean, thin horse? And he says, you have the during rainy season, the river is raging. And the big horses, the big, mature, powerful horses come up and they try to cross and they get swept away. And after getting swept away, the thin horse comes up and he's calculating, how am I going to get across? So, Prabhupada would call it as it is. It wasn't sentimental. Otherwise, he's thinking, I want to do this with this devotee. So, but he's doing a responsible thing. Then someone else comes up who could do it, and then he's making the thing, okay, great, you do it. And then he'll open another project. Okay. Three, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Right? Mm-hmm. Mechanics and all that you talk about if it's your service and it's something to do with the service and all that, but otherwise, then not important. Four, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scripture and working independently or whimsically. Right? Right here. Instead of independently or whimsically, you could also in brackets put, Google Guru. Or internet, like that. So, in other words, you're following because you have to follow the rules, but then it won't advance you so much. Because the point is the mechanics, it doesn't advance the smartness in devotional service, why will it advance us? So we do those things to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. The smarta does it because it's a rule. We do it, it will be, yes, it's purifying, but it won't advance you in devotional service. But when you do it to please Krishna, that will advance you. Or you think, this doesn't apply to us, this isn't important, we just chant, we don't care about the rules. Then that's the other side. Then you're not following the things that will make you strong. It's funny, it's that we'll say all these stiff things, but as you advance, it's not that they give up eating. I'm more advanced, so I don't eat, I don't sleep, I don't, like that. No, they don't do that. So you have to maintain. Five, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. It means you might have worldly-minded persons interested in Krishna consciousness, so you're cultivating them. But then that's the basis of conversation is Krishna consciousness and how their life connects to Krishna. And six, being greedy for mundane achievements. So that also is important, that if we're mesmerized by the material world and their accomplishments, then we have to be careful of this ourselves. Therefore, unless you have this or that or other different things, then you can't do all these different things. When in actuality is someone who's greedy for devotional service, that's the qualification. The mundane achievement is not a qualification in Krishna consciousness. You have it and you can use it, great. But if you don't have it, then like that. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.